I'm Floyd Hall, and this is a Wonder Root artist feature. I have the pleasure of speaking with Atlanta native David Gaither. David, how you doing?
Doing excellent. How you doing, Floyd?
I'm doing very well.
Good.
Let's start at the beginning. You're an Atlanta native, and you're creating your art, but you were a self-taught artist.
Yes.
So let's start there. When did you first have this inkling that art was something that you wanted to pursue?
My parents told me I was as early as 2 or 3 when I actually started. And it went from just doing all types of art, from like figurative to like landscapes. But essentially, I always knew I had that talent and some other talents like inventing. But I just always had personal time that I would devote every day towards art or towards inventing or towards something. And so just over at a very early age, I developed a certain level of precision. And then I just continued, I guess, all my life to do art, but never really thought about it professionally, because I was more, I guess, on a business frame of mind. But it was more so my wife. She saw some of the pieces, some of the paintings that I was doing, and it was her convincing. She was like, you need to go out there and show these to some galleries. And a true story, I showed, I think at the time it was between 13 and 15, to a particular gallery, and they wanted every single piece. And so after that, I started to really look at that talent and really see that, yeah, this is something I should pursue, because I've been doing it for so long that I developed a very precise style in terms of my paintings or art.
So you mentioned that you were always creative from an early age,
yes,
from inventing things to making things to painting.
Yes.
So what was it about painting that really stuck with you?
Well, the thing that sticks with me is that you can create your own, anything that comes out of your mind, you can make it a reality. And it takes you to more of a imaginative or mythical mind state. So anything that you have a dream is lost. But with painting, you can have a dream, you can draw, sketch, or just paint that dream into an actual piece. And that's something that's lasting. And the other thing about it is that it's so innovative and evolutionary, because I look at some of the earlier works that I did. Even when I was way, way younger, I would paint or draw a person or a building or an object or whatever, and how over time I guess we would call it a metamorphosis, where I developed my own style, which I am calling maximalism, which encompasses all of those things. It encompasses abstract art. It has figurative art elements in it. It has all kinds of various elements. And that's what I like about painting.
Well, let's focus on that term, maximalism. So let's start with that and then go some other places.
Okay.
When did that term become something that you felt your art was representing? Because maximalism has, I think, been around in other genres of creativity in terms of a style or as a contrast to minimalism in some ways. And a lot of artists in other genres may reflect that certain type of energy, if you will. So when did you know that maximalism, or just even that term itself, really was what your work was about?
I think it was actually earlier on. I think what I did when I started to really get, I guess you'd say I turned professional rather, I was going to initially start with maximalism, but what I decided to do, because I did some pieces that were extremely cutting edge, and I saw that a lot of gallery owners, gallery critics or whatever, thought that it was so next level and so cutting edge. And so what I decided to do is first, I guess, slowly build up every single viewer. So I started with these murals that had elements of maximalism, but they weren't as tightly defined. They were more like you saw in the catalog. They're more loose in terms of being either A, more figurative, or B, more abstract. But maximalism was something that I had always, because when I was even sketching and doing art at a younger age, it was extremely detailed. And so I guess over time, I evolved again from like more of a figurative to more of my own fusion, I would say. So it has elements of figurative, but to me, what maximalism or my maximalism is essentially a very detailed landscape. It's a movement within itself. It can be any type of particular piece or style of art. What defines it is just the intricacies in terms of the shapes, the gradients of colors, or the dramatic colorways, the very detailed elements, principal motifs such as Spirit Man or the Phoenix, or one of the pieces that I just finished, which involves a samurai. And it also involves a lot of innovation in terms of the types of materials you use, because I never really used just traditional paints. I always would use like very next level type of stuff. I would research, just like with my inventing, just being very creative, finding either making my own materials to use in my paintings, or finding where the next level was. If it was somewhere like Japan, where they're using new products such as solidified paint, which looks and resembles either a oil marker or oil pen, oil crayon, or even a chalk or regular crayon, but the consistency of it is totally different, and it works more like a heavy body acrylic paint. Stuff like that, stuff like these gouaches that come out of Japan that have fluorescent colors and all of these proprietary materials and composites in them that make certain types of finishes on paintings. So that's essentially what it is. It's maximalism is taking contemporary art to the next level. And it's not only in the design and the intricacy of it, but it's also the way that the pieces are prepared. So the materials you use, the conceptual elements that are involved.
With your work and with the energy in your work, lots of color, lots of very intricate details, as you mentioned, but I'm curious about some of the narratives that are in your work, because one thing that I notice about your work is that you don't leave very many spaces unfilled. It's very full. So with the figures that you present, what is the overall narrative, or where are some of these narratives in your work that people can look at it and say, okay, I see where this is going?
Well, a lot of the principal narratives involve like next level, and a lot of times it's spatial, because a lot of the maximalism pieces involve spatial framework or spatial logic in terms of the way the pieces are juxtaposed. And even now, some of the newer works have more multidimensional shapes. So a lot of overarching concepts or themes, if you want to call it that, involve your journey through life and then your progression or your evolution. And so that's displayed in a lot of the colorful murals, where you see a hodgepodge or a mixture of sea landscapes or land, or even spatial celestial bodies. One of the principal themes is Spirit Man, which is symbolic of everyone. And essentially it's a person, but not just the person himself or herself, but also the spirit that lies within them. So it's also a tie back to God, and more of a religious, but it's the manifestation of man, not only in his physical form, but also in the spirit. And so you will see a lot of pieces with Spirit Man, and a lot of times he's either it appears as if he's embodied with a collage of different types of birds or creatures in the sky, as well as spaceships or planes or jets, that are traveling through these vortices or these interdimensional planes or time continuums, because it's more about not just where we are today, but where we may go in the future. And it's also about that journey in between where you are, but also how you are evolving. And that's why you can see the similar parallels with the paintings, how the paintings evolve and how the paintings might eventually have more of a two-dimensional type of construct. And then I will slowly integrate, or I have slowly integrated, more three-dimensional or even multi-dimensional types of constructs to show the viewer that maximalism is not just one particular thing. It's a lot of pretty much everything is very expansive.
So where does that come from, or just your grasp of this type of creativity? Where does that come from in you? Were you a big science fiction fan when you were a kid? Did you like to meditate on these things as you were younger? I'm trying to figure out where in you does this come from, because I know you, and when I see your work, sometimes I think you're just naturally curious about what was the catalyst for this type of energy to come from someone.
I think it was something that came from, I mean, it was just innate. I as early as I can remember, it has been something, because even when I was a kid, like, I would always, if I would just be more on the creative edge. And I just think it's something that was naturally embodied in me that over time it's just I progressively worked at it or just developed a really voluminous body of work, and it's just that natural progression. But it also has maybe some ties in. I always had fascination with sci-fi. I remember when I was a kid watching Tron and movies like that, which were ahead of their time in terms of what they were able to do at those times, or even using computer graphics and computer animation. But at the time, it was so ahead of the curve in terms of what the types of concepts that they were able to display. And even though technology was still not there or as progressed as it is today, they were able to do pretty much light years in terms of what modern, at that time, was modern movie production techniques. And so things of that nature, or movies like that, or even cartoons, or even just seeing creative images, whether it was like movies, cartoons, toys, that, like the Transformers, stuff like that was really budding, I guess you would say, or helped to, I already had the creativity, but also helped to fill that out or even give me more inspiration or whatnot.
As an Atlanta native, you've had the chance to take your work outside of the city, outside of the states. You've exhibited in New York. You've taken your work to California. You've taken your work to Europe. What has been the response to your work, or I guess the difference in response to your work, from folks overseas to the people here in the States?
It's pretty much been very similar. Well, I've been told that my work is groundbreaking is something I hear that all the time. I've heard this so distinctly different and so technically proficient that even galleries or critics that may favor more of a figurative form or even surrealism or impressionist are still drawn to my art, because they see this distinctly different. It definitely takes a lot of precision, a lot of skill, but also the creativity of it. I think overseas, like in Europe and Asia, they're more embrace cutting edge, next level type of stuff. And so a lot of times they're willing to take a chance on art, even if it's not uniform or even if it's not defined by a particular standard. I think it's the same in Los Angeles, because I'm actually not even a couple of weeks have a solo exhibition out there. And I developed a series or a collection exclusively for this particular place, and I call it the Kaleidoscope Collection, where it is involving different striations of images based on a central or focal point, like a triangle or a square or a star or a circle or whatever, as being the central point. But then you have a collage or this dynamic freeform movement of shapes all around that central point. So I think it's just a matter of where you go. Most of the time when I have done work like all over, it's been more on the cutting edge or contemporary art scene. And so a lot of times these are people or areas or even gallery owners who are looking for that next level, because they get inundated with a lot of similar types of work. And to see something that is so dramatically different is just extremely thought-provoking. And the other thing that, like you had asked me earlier, a lot of times I get is like, well, what's the meaning of this piece, or what do you do? And so that's why every time I compose a piece, I write a narrative. And it's a very thought-provoking and detailed narrative to allow the viewer to, first of all, see the meaning or some of the main symbolisms of the piece. But then there's also a point where the viewer can make their own impression or their own conclusion of what that piece means to them. So it's more personal for each viewer.
You mentioned that some of the gallery owners are looking for things that are just different, or things that may just really shake up what they traditionally feature. When you have those kinds of conversations initially with gallery owners and even art patrons, what is the first question that people normally ask you about your work when they first see it and have a chance to talk to you about it?
Well, a lot of times they ask me, it's like, how in the world did you do this? How long did it take? What type of paints or what types of materials do you use? Because a lot of times, as you've seen, the paints are so dramatically different. They're like, if it's a fluorescent type of paint, it's so vibrant that it almost is overpowering if you have similar pieces next to it, or if you have a piece that doesn't have that type of luster. So that's one of the first things, is like the colors as well as the intricacy. It's always a question of how long did this take you? How did you come up with this? And so that's a tie-in. That's essentially a lot of times in my favor, because with it I can just drop off, or if I was to talk to someone or go see a gallery and I just respond back, I might just shoot them an email and have one or two images in it, and they're just immediately drawn to it.
I noticed in your work that there are some subtle shifts in how you construct your paintings, and I wanted to turn that back to you and ask you, when do you notice when you've changed or when innovation has occurred in your work? Because I was looking at some of your earlier works and then some of your later works, and I said to you earlier, I said, this looks more crisp and these images look a little bit more defined than some of your earlier work. So when do you realize when you've changed in how you create your work?
Well, I guess I am constantly evolving, first of all. I realize that I'm changing because a lot of times it can be a combination of things. It could be that either, A, I want to start in one direction and slowly build that up over time, or I have done some work where I'm just naturally inspired and I decide to go in a totally different direction. A good example is one of the newer pieces that I did called Maximal Steps, an introduction to multidimensional maximalism. And so in that piece, a lot of the pieces, like you said before, were more two-dimensional. And then I guess either it was at night, I was dreaming or whatever, or it was like early that morning, a light bulb went off, and I just started to think about how I could show more dimensions and make my work appear as if it's flying off the canvas or the wood panel or whatever type of medium. And so I just naturally started to shift totally from that super flat type of perspective, because a lot of times one of the things that I developed was I wanted to develop a style that was so distinctly different, which I call super flat, meaning that you don't see any of the paint strokes unless I intentionally want you to. And that's done by just finally applying paint in very, very thin levels and then letting it build up over time. And so just like that, with multidimensional, I just wanted to start showing more depth in the paintings, or make the paintings appear as if they're flying off of the medium. And so I guess a lot of times it's just in the middle, I may be in the midst of starting another piece. Like, I'm starting some pieces that are more, even more shifting now than just the maximal steps painting that I just did, that involve more custom shape, more custom work. It could be custom canvas or custom MDF or wood panels, but custom medium. And so that would give the viewer, it would make, either if it's a person or a figure, or even if it's shapes, it just gives that appearance not only that the shapes are flying off the medium, but they're also traveling fluidly across the medium in a more dynamic and more free form. And so I think when I start something, it's always to continuously build and never stay static. So if I feel that I've kind of covered a particular period, or if I've shown enough examples of a particular type of concept, then naturally I feel it's time to either progress, move on, or take it into another avenue or another, just go in another direction sometimes.
Looking at your career at this point, you're a self-taught artist who has had the chance to have his work displayed far and wide. And I'm curious about maybe some of your decisions along the way from a career standpoint. So if you would talk about maybe one or two of your most important decisions as it relates to your career as an artist up to this point.
I think one of the most important was to decide what audience I was going to target, and for multiple reasons. One is you want broad diffusion of your art, and also how to stay, I guess, as cutting edge as possible, and having to develop your own movement, your own following. So I look back at what Warhol or someone like Picasso did with, for example, Picasso did with Cubism. And so one important decision that I think was paramount was deciding what is my own unique style. I feel like a lot of times in art, you're categorized as either this type of artist, but you really don't have your own identity. It's just like, well, he's an abstract painter, but there are many abstract painters. So a very paramount decision was to define my work and find out, well, what type of phrase, terminology, loosely as well as widely embodies what I do, so that it's never a maturing, it's always open and room to grow. And that's why I feel that maximalism was pretty much the best terminology, or even the best term for it, rather, because it's a evolving, growing type of art movement, and it's not static, it's much more dynamic and evolutionary. And what it also allows is viewers and people such as yourself to see the work and to see the progression and to see how different types of elements are being added or even combined, the subtle shifts or even radical shifts in the work, and be able to see that maximalism is not a static type of art form. It's evolutionary. You may see something that looks totally different than an earlier work, but it's still in maximalism.
Last question. As a fellow Atlanta native, what does it mean to you to be an Atlanta artist, creating the kind of work that you create? What does that mean to you?
It essentially means to me that I have the ability to touch and to move anyone on the face of the earth. And it also shows me that it's really funny and surprising, because you never know where you'll go. I mean, you know, I'm looking at myself, and I've spent most of my time, I mean, I've spent some time in the North, out in the West Coast, and all abroad. I've gone all traveled all over the world. But I see just the landmark, those formative years here in Atlanta, and how I didn't have to necessarily travel, but it was more of a travel inwards of bringing out all of those particular talents and skills that manifest inside of me, and then seeing how you're able to not only shape and persuade or even inspire people in your neighborhood. Like, I spent a lot of time in the West End growing up, as well as the Cascade community. And so not just seeing how you shift and inspire and influence people within your neighborhood, or then Atlanta as a whole, but then how that can transcend to worldwide. And Atlanta has a lot of creative artists, creative people. And a lot of times you'll start to see in subtle shifts, you'll see artists, maybe musicians or painters that are acknowledged. But there's a lot of hidden gems here in Atlanta. And I was just so happy and so thankful to have been raised and been a product of Atlanta, because I feel like a lot of my personal experiences are what defines me as an artist. And now I'm having the opportunity to show that to people all over the world, and they're thinking, wow, I must be somewhere like LA or Asia or Europe because of my painting style. But no, I'm actually here from Atlanta. So it's very humbling.
David Gaither, let all of our listeners know how they can find out more about your work and what you're up to.
You can go on my website, which is easy. It's www.david, my first name, D-A-V-I-D, dash Gaither, G-A-I-T-H-E-R.com. And I keep that pretty much maintained on a frequent basis. So it has a lot of the events, new shows that I'm doing, solo exhibitions. And I also frequently change up the artwork on there, so you'll see a lot of some of the older pieces, as well as a lot of new cutting-edge pieces that have not even been displayed. You can also check me on Twitter, and that's just without any spaces, David Gaither Art. And I also have a Facebook page, and I believe it's David Gaither Art as well. But you can, anywhere between those three mediums, you can find me, as well as see a lot of my work and find out about different shows or exhibitions that I have that are either ongoing or upcoming. And if you have the chance, or if you're in a particular city or country where I'm having an exhibition, more than feel free to just come out and show your support. Or you can either reach me online, and if you'd like to reach out and acquire a piece of art or find out more about particular art, that's fine as well.
David Gaither, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Floyd. It's been a pleasure.